And God's grace is amazing, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. If you will, turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 15. I've got four verses that I want to read to you here in this chapter. I want us to look at four last things that Paul gives us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First of all, I want to go to verse number 8. Verse number 8. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. Then I want you to go down to verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Amen. Then I want you to go down to verse 45. Verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Then one last verse here in verse 52. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his precious word this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come this morning as humbly as we know how before thee. And dear Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk to proclaim the precious word of God. Lord, we ask, Lord, now tonight that you'd help us to pull away from the cares of this world. Help us to get our minds and hearts set upon you, to worship you and uplift and glorify your name. Lord, we pray, Lord, that each and every heart will be blessed today and leave this place saying it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that every need might be met. And Lord, if there's someone in our midst that knows you're not a Savior, that they might be saved today. And Lord, you know my need. I need your touch, need your filling, need your power. For Lord, without thee, that we can do nothing. And Lord, we need you, Lord, more than ever before. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you come upon the scene. Bless each and every heart that's gathered here today. And dear Lord, all that you do will be faithful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And so, you know my need. Fill me, Lord, with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, give me unction from on high. For, Lord, we realize that we can do nothing ourselves. We're helpless and hopeless without you. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we do pray. Amen and amen. So we find here these in these four verses, we find these things Paul gives unto us. He says, last of all, as Peter says, he was seen of me, as Paul says here in verse number 8, and he was seen of me last of all. He's talking about the last of the apostles. You know, it really gets me when I hear someone on TV, a preacher on TV, talking about him being an apostle. Well, first of all, we find that Paul was the last apostle. There weren't any more apostles after Paul. Paul was the last apostle, and we find that he made up that one that was an apostle, which denied the Lord and then went and betrayed him with a kiss when they carried him off to be judged, just Jesus was judged of this world. And so we find that Paul took his place, and Paul also was an apostle to the Gentiles. And so we find that he said that he, last of all, he was the one that was called. Then he says something about the last enemy. He said is death. That last enemy one day is going to be destroyed, and we're going to look at that in a minute. Then he talks about the last Adam. Says Paul, pointed, in other words, the last Adam, says Paul, pointed to Christ. That last Adam was Jesus Christ himself that came to fulfill what God had given the law. As Jesus said, I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And so he came and fulfilled the law and then gave his life on Calvary. And then he says, reminding us of Christ's second coming at the last trump. Jesus is coming at the last trump. He's coming again. Paul was constantly always talking about when Jesus was coming. When Jesus' ministry was going on here on earth, Jesus kept referring to, I must go away. But he said, if I must go away, he said, I will come again. Jesus is coming again just like he said he was. He came the first time just like the scripture said he was. He's coming back the second time, just like the scripture says he is. He's coming. We're going to come in the clouds. We're going to go up to meet him in the air. And so praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to that day. We know that we're living close to that. I mentioned that, I think, in the Sunday school hour this morning, that we're living in that hour. We're living in that time. And Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, thy redemption draweth nigh. Listen, we know that we're getting close. Also, we find that Paul said in the last days there'll be a great falling away. We see that, don't we? We see that people is not concerned about the things of God. I mean, you talk to people and they got no time for God. They got no time for church. They got no time for the Bible or anything. They don't believe any of it. Just as it was, as Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Hey, listen, that's what we're living in. We're living in that time. People don't believe. Just like in Noah's day, they didn't believe. And when they did believe, it's too late. When they did believe, it's too late. I mean, you know, they made fun. I preached about this. What was it, last week? I preached about Noah. And last Sunday night, I think it was, I preached on Noah. And so they all laughed. And they all mocked, just like they laugh and mock today. But when it started raining, and they'd never seen it rain before, but when it started raining, then they believed, then they went running to the ark. Well, it's too late then. Right. Too late. The ark was sealed. Noah kept telling them, said, you better get in. You better get in. It's time to get in. You better get in. Time is running out. And, oh, I don't believe that stuff. It's crazy, Noah. Huh? These crazy Christians today, you know, they're just crazy. And, you know, they must have fell out of a tree on their head. And, you know, they just lost their senses. Hey, listen, but when it does take place, when it does happen, how would you like to live in a world where there is no children? No babies whatsoever. I don't know about you, but I love babies. Amen. I love children. Amen. I love it. I pick at the kids all the time. You know, I like picking at children, you know. Usually when I go back there and I sit down in a chair and shake hands as people's going out and everything. And then, you know, oh, Bishop, he'll come up to me and he'll come up and Bishop will come up and he'll shake my hand and all. And I tell him, I said, Bishop, you're my buddy. No, I'm not. I'm Papa's, call him Papa, is that what it is? Grandpa? I'm Grandpa's buddy. I said, you're my buddy too. No, I'm not. I'm Grandpa's buddy, you know. I'm not your buddy. And he'll just giggle and laugh. I do that just to hear him giggle and laugh. Amen. I love to hear him giggle and laugh. You know, and I just pick at him and everything like that. And I just give him a big old hug and everything. And I just love him to pieces. And same way with his sister. Usually she's about the first one to greet me back there. She'll come flying back and give me a hug and all like that. And I say, I tell her, Andromeda, I love you. Amen. And I do it. I tell all the kids then. I tell all the kids. And I speak to all of them. And I tell them all. And I hug them as long as they'll let me. Sometimes my great-grandchildren don't give me time to tell them. Amen. They run up, hug, and then they run. You know, so, anyway. But praise God, I love children. I'd hate to live in a world where there is no children. Wouldn't that be horrible? I mean, my goodness, what a sad world that has no children. Oh, how terrible it's going to be. But we're going to look at these things, and then I'll let you go. He said, first of all, in verse 8, he talks about the last witness. Amen. He was the last witness. I mean, on the road to Damascus, persecuting the church and doing all the evil that he could against the church, thinking that he was doing the will of God. You know, there's a lot of people think that they're doing the will of God, and they're not doing the will of God at all. They're not doing what God wants them to do. First of all, God wants a person to do is to come to Jesus and accept Jesus as their personal Savior. You know, it amazes me if people would just take the Bible and they'd read the Bible, and the Bible would tell them and show them that the very need of man is that he must come to Christ and be saved. Jesus said, you must be born again. You can't get into heaven without being born again. Matter of fact, Jesus said you can't even see heaven without being born again. You must be born again. Hey, listen, that's why we preach on it. That's why we preach it. Hey, listen, when me and Brenda got married and I joined the church there where Brenda grew up and everything, we never heard a salvation message. That's why we make a point of every message. Every time I preach, I bring out about salvation, because that is something that people need to know, that Jesus saves and Jesus desires to save them and to give them everlasting life. It's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come unto repentance. That's exactly what God wants. He wants people to come to Christ. God doesn't want people to go out into eternity lost and undone, going to a devil's hell. God doesn't want that. God's done everything possible that he could possibly do to still be a holy God, and that man could be saved and have everlasting life. God's done everything possible that he could do. Man, and then people make the statement, I hear this, well, why does God allow man to go to that awful place called hell? God does not allow it. That man goes there against God's will, and God's done everything he can to keep them out of it. Hey, listen, the thing about it is they love their sin more than they love getting their sin right. Hey, listen, all you got to do is accept Jesus. Amen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus from Genesis to Revelation in this book. It's all about Jesus. It's not about anybody else but Jesus. It tells us about him, the Savior of the world. His promise is given to us in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. At the very, very beginning of the book, we find that God promises a Savior. Amen. I'm so glad that I came to know Jesus as my personal Savior. I mean, Paul thought he was doing right. He's very religious. Thought he was serving God, doing exactly what God wanted him to do. But then Jesus called out from heaven, the great light shining all about him, and he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Paul said, Lord, who are you? And he said, Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Amen. Hey, listen, he is persecuting the church. Every time he hurt a Christian, he's hurting Jesus. You know what? Every time we hurt another Christian, we're hurting Jesus. Amen. Every time we do something to another Christian, we're hurting Jesus. We're not only hurting them, but we're hurting Jesus. Hey, listen, we are members of the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, but listen, we're the other parts of the body. We make up the body of Christ. And listen, when we hurt one another, we're hurting Jesus, who is the head of the body. Hey, listen. It's important, amen. It's important that we understand that Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life. And if we love others, we'll be willing to do the very same thing, amen. Hey, listen, he says the triumph over the resurrection. Hey, you know what? When Jesus spoke to him and he spoke to Jesus, there's one thing that he realized, that, listen, there is a resurrection. Now, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. This was the problem they had between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, both religious groups, but they differed when it came to the resurrection. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection, but the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. I don't know why I would even be part of a religion if I didn't believe that there's a resurrection. You know, What hope do you have? Huh? What hope is there if there's no resurrection? But praise God, there is a resurrection. And Jesus rose as a testimony that there is a resurrection. As a matter of fact, Jesus said himself, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. Even if you were dead and believed in me, yet shall ye live. Hey, listen, he is the resurrection, and because he rose, we shall rise also. That this old body might go into the grave, but listen, one day this old body will be raised up. You've heard me say from this pulpit before, right now we're two-thirds redeemed. I don't say saved, I say redeemed. There's a difference. Amen. Praise God. We're saved. If you've received Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're saved. Amen. But when this body lays down, that soul and spirit is going to separate from that body, and to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, as we find there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So when this body lays down, this body is going to go back to dust. This body is going to go back to the earth. This body is not fit and made for heaven. This body can't take heaven, matter of fact. Listen, it's got to be a glorified body. We're going to have a body like Jesus so that we can even endure heaven, amen. It's going to be a glorious body. Hey, you know what? Sometimes I think about this. Matter of fact, yesterday I was thinking about this. When I get to heaven, I mean, how, you know, there's so many things that we just don't quite understand, you know. I don't understand how it's going to be. All I know is what the Word of God tells me, and the Word of God tells me I'm going to have a glorified body. But, you know, but when the Bible also tells us that when we see Him, we should be like Him, and see this body be glorified when we see Him. And that's when He comes in the clouds, and we go up to meet Him in the air, First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. So when we see Him, we'll be like Him. Well, if we're going to be like Him, will we be able to walk through doors without opening them? Huh? Yeah, preacher, you're silly. Well, hey, Jesus did it. If Jesus did it, we're going to be just like Him. If we want to, we can either open the door and walk in, or we can just walk on in. Amen? Amen. Because we're going to be like Him. I might not understand. I don't understand these things. There's a lot of things I don't understand. And God doesn't let us know a lot about it, because if He did let us know a lot about it, we'd probably be committing suicide so we'd get there, amen, quicker than normal. And so, but anyway, God just leaves the question mark there. Well, how's it going to be when we get to heaven? What's it going to be? Well, we're going to see the street of gold when we open our eyes. Are we going to be in that celestial city? Are we going to be on the street of gold? Are we going to see Jesus first? Are we going to see loved ones first? Who are we going to see first, you know? How is it going to be? When we get to heaven, when we get to heaven. I know, you know, I've had testimonies from people right before they died, and they say, oh, I see so-and-so. They've come. They come, and they're telling me to come on over. I remember when my stepfather died, my mother told me, she was there in the room when he died, and she said that. He looked over toward, there was a lamp there, and he said, you see there, Helen, that's my mother's name, said, you see there, Helen? Said, there's Mama, and there's James, and started naming off different people in his family that had gone on to be with the Lord. And he says, there they are. They're telling me, come on over, Irvin, come on over. And just right after that, he passed away and went on over to the other side, you know. Well, one of these days, maybe he'll be there. Be there, and he'll say, come on over, Larry, come on over. It's time for you to come on home. Come on over. Amen. We're enjoying it over here in heaven. Amen. Praise God one of these days. Amen. I'm looking forward to my eternal home in heaven. Amen. But it'd be the trump of the resurrection. And then the last enemy, the trump of his reign. So now we see Jesus. Jesus is going to destroy death. Matter of fact, he's already destroyed it for the Christian. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The shadow of death. Amen. I like what old Charles Haddon Spurgeon said. He said, the shadow of a dog can't bite me. Amen. I tell you. Now, I don't mind little dogs, but I tell you, them big dogs bother me. Amen. They bother me. Oh, boy. My sister-in-law, she went to this lady's house, and she walked up to the porch, and this German Shepherd come running out. He started baring his teeth and all, and the lady walked out. She said, "Oh, he won't hurt you. Come on up. Come on up on the porch." And she started to go up on the porch and made a step on the step, and that dog bit her right in the belly. Boy, this German Shepherd just bit her right in the belly. When people tell me they got a big dog, "Oh, he won't hurt you," I say, "I know he won't hurt you, but he's liable to devour me." Amen. I'm afraid of big dogs. Amen. They can put a hurt on you. Let me tell you, something like a German Shepherd or whatever, he bites you, you're going to be hurt. You're going to be hurt bad. And, but here we find the last enemy is death. Hey, listen, one of these days, God's going to destroy death for everyone. There is not going to be any more death. Praise God, when we get to heaven, there won't be death in heaven. Nobody dies in heaven. Praise God. Everybody that's there has everlasting life. Hey, you know what? When Jesus' ministry was here on earth, and we find that, I think it's in Matthew 17 there, where Jesus and Peter, James, and John was there on the mountaintop, the mountain of transfiguration, and we find that Moses showed up, and Elijah showed up. And so both of them talked to Jesus, and so Peter, as usual, you know, opens his mouth when he should have kept it shut. And he said, "Oh, it's good that we were here. Let's build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and then one for you, Jesus." And that shining cloud came moving over on the top of the mountain. And then out of the mist of the cloud, a voice came out and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." It's not Moses. A lot of times when I preach from that message from Matthew 17, I explain Moses is a type of the law. The law does not save. The law was given to be our schoolmaster to lead us unto Christ, to show us that we were wrong, show us that we come short of the glory of God, to show us that we need help. And there's nothing that we can do ourselves. So when we accept Jesus Christ, see, Jesus fulfilled all the law. He said, "I come not to destroy it, but to fulfill it." And he did. He fulfilled it. So you and I, listen, when we get to heaven, we cannot say, "Look how good I am, God. Look what a great Christian I am. Look at all that I did. Look at all these works that I've done." All we can say when we get to heaven is, "Because of you, Jesus. The only reason I'm here is because of you. I wouldn't have made it if it hadn't been for you. If you hadn't paid the price, I'd have been lost forever, doomed forever. But praise the Lord, you paid the price. And by paying the price, you extended grace to me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Praise God for the marvelous grace of God. As Amy sang this morning, amazing grace. And it is amazing, praise God. It's amazing that God would extend grace to me. It's amazing to me at all the things that I had done against God, and God's amazing grace came down and He saved me, an old lost sinner headed for hell. He saved me and gave me everlasting life. You know what? Because He loved me. And He loves you. And He loves everybody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Those are such blessed verses to me that comfort my heart. Praise God. Even when I say, "God, I'm guilty. God, I come up short. God, I fail." And then these verses come up, and they comfort me. And He said, "You're not going to heaven because of you. You're going to heaven because of me." Amen. I did it all, and I did it all for you. Praise God for the triumph and the reign over that last enemy, death. And then thirdly, we find the last Adam. We find the triumph of his relationship. Listen, we find that Adam failed. See, Adam was made perfect, and the Shekinah glory covered him. He had a covering of the glory of God. Eve had a covering of the glory of God. I mean, God would come, and Adam would walk with God in the cool of the day. And I mean, there was no problem. But as soon as sin entered in, you notice something? They seen themselves naked. Why? The glory departed. The glory left. Because sin entered in. Sin destroyed the glory. And all of a sudden, they looked at each other and said, hey, you know, we're naked. And then they went and hid amongst the trees, the bushes, sewing fig leaves together, trying to cover up their nakedness. And God came and said, Adam, where art thou? Wasn't it God didn't know where he was at? God knew exactly where he was at. He wanted Adam to know where he was at. He said, well, I heard thy voice, and I hid myself. Adam, why'd you hide? Because I was naked, and I hid myself. Who told you you was naked? Huh? When I had no more glory, the Shekinah glory, the glory of God didn't cover me. Hey, do you know what? When the rapture takes place, you know, if the rapture takes place right now, you know what would be left of yours here in this church? Your clothes. All of a sudden, all these clothes would be left here, but the bodies would be gone.
I remember years ago in a tent meeting, dear man that pastored the church there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, was preaching. He'd been dealing with his family for a long time and trying to get the husband and the son to come to church. Now, the woman, she'd go to church, and she'd beg her husband and her son to go to church with her. And we don't want to go to church. We don't have time for church and this, that, and the other. And she kept telling them about the rapture. Said, one day Jesus is coming. And said one day you'll come to the church and all the clothes and everything be left and won't be anybody there. And so her husband take her to church, drop her off, and then her son would go back and pick her up. And so they'd take turns picking mama up. And so anyway, that night, time to pick up mama. And so son got in the car and drove over to the church. And all the lights was on, everything was on. He waited and waited and waited, and she didn't come out. So finally he got out of the car and he walked into the church. And he looked in, and here's all this wintertime, and people left their coats laying in the pews, and he walked in, seen all the coats and everything, and he went to running out, jumped the car, run home, and screamed out to that dad. I mean, this really happened now. This really happened. And he went home as fast as he could and said, Dad, the rapture took place. We've been left behind. He said, I went to pick Mama up and said, Mama wasn't nowhere. Said the church lights was on. Said, we went inside the church. There wasn't anybody there. And said the clothes was laying around everywhere in the church. And said, rapture took place. We've been left behind. He said, son, take me to the church. So they went running to the church, and they got to the church, and they looked all around, seen all these coats and everything, all the lights on. What in the world was happening? What was going on? And then they heard something. They went out behind the church, and there's a fellowship hall out back, and they were celebrating. I don't know whether it was a fifth Sunday or somebody's birthday or whatever or whatever took place. But anyway, all the people was over there in the fellowship hall. Amen. Now, preacher told him, he said, listen, what if it had happened? Those two got saved and they started going to church and they got in church. Amen. Praise the Lord. But what if it had happened? All those people that had been told and preached to and all and been left behind, that praise God, they got a second chance to come to Christ and accept Him as their Savior. Now they know, praise God, when that time comes, they're going to go to heaven. But Jesus fulfilled what Adam failed to do. Adam failed and he sinned. And listen, God knew what was going to happen. And then
As you know, God went and killed those innocent animals. Here's another picture of Jesus. The innocent dying for the guilty. Those innocent animals did nothing wrong, but their lives were taken so to have skins to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. They forfeited their lives so they could be covered. And so we find that Jesus came so that we could be covered. When Jesus comes, then we'll have the Shekinah glory. We'll be clothed in the glory that Adam had before he'd sinned. We'll be clothed in that. We won't need these clothes, but we'll have that glory that will cover us so our nakedness could not be seen. Hallelujah. I don't know. Praise God, I could just shout right there. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then last thing, the last trump. The trump of his return. Whether people believe it or not, Jesus is coming. He's coming, just like he said, he is coming. I'm ready to go. I hope everybody under the hearing of my word this morning is ready to go. But one of these days, there's going to be people that said, well, I heard it all my life. Like I had one woman tell me, she said, I've heard that all my life. It's never happened yet. And I said, you better be glad it hadn't happened. Yeah, people say, oh, I've heard that preaching about the rapture all my life. But he's not come yet. Nope, he's not come, but his mercy's still extended. He's still calling, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He's still calling. He's asking people to come. Now, Spurgeon said, he said, if death is the last enemy, why not leave it last? Death is the last enemy. One day, death has already been taken care of for we as Christians. Because it's not, when death comes, we'll be here and then instantly we'll be in heaven. I was telling somebody about when I was in hospital. Now, the doctor knew. He knew I was in trouble, but I didn't know I was in trouble. I didn't. I remember the doctor standing there in intensive care. He's standing there right at my bed. And, of course, they had that monitor behind me. I could see the heart monitor and anything. I could see what was going on. And so he kept just standing there. And he'd look up and he said, if we need to put you on a ventilator, he said, do you have any problem with that? No, I don't have any problem. No. But I didn't know what he knew. He was wondering. He said, man, any minute, said, you can go from here. And said, we might have to get the ventilator in you and get you to breathing. He said, do you have any problems if we, have to take the paddles and use the paddles on you to get your heart started again? Nah, I don't have any problem with that. But I didn't think he's really talking about me. I don't have any problem with that. And then, and he kept just watching that monitor. I didn't know, but Amy punched her mother and said, Dad's heart's in trouble. She said, I hadn't paid any attention. She said, I didn't know. She said, look at the monitor there. She said, Dad's heart's in trouble. Said it'd make that real long down, come down real long. Isn't that right? Am I telling it right? Because I didn't see it. It was behind me. I couldn't see it. But that's what Brenda was telling me. I was just going by what she told me. The next day, the doctor comes in, and he says, well, we're glad you made it through the night. Yeah, I am too. He said, we didn't know whether we was going to lose you or not. What do you mean? I said, well, you was in trouble. Why did you wait so long to come to the hospital? I said, I thought I had the flu. I thought I'd be getting over it. He said, no, you didn't have the flu. He said, you got pneumonia. He said, that pneumonia put so much pressure on your heart. He said, we didn't know whether your heart could take it or not. And said, and I said, wow, I didn't know this was going on. Well, you see, you can be so close to death and not realize it. You can be next to death's door and you think you're all right. that you're not. Then I thought about James. James said, death is like a vapor. You know how a vapor is. It's here and then it's gone. You put a pot on the stove and of water and everything, and it goes to boil, and you see that steam go up, and you see it disappear before it gets to the ceiling. That's what he's talking about. It's so simple. And so, you can come right to the death's door and you don't even realize that you're there. I just know one thing. If I didn't make it out of the hospital, praise God, I knew I was going to make it to heaven. Amen. I've told the doctors before. Doctor, they tell me, well, you need to watch this and watch that. I said, well, I want to die with something. And I said, I'm ready to go. I said, matter of fact, I'm anxious to go. Don't talk like that. You shouldn't talk like that. Well, why? I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And it's far better than this old world. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of this world. Man, this world just don't get along. It's going in one direction. I'm going in the opposite direction. They advertise this guy on television, Bloomberg. I told my wife, I said, that man is for everything I'm against. He is. I mean, and boy, I'm going to get your women's right, reproductive rights back, and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, aborting babies. He's all for aborting babies, And he talks about all this stuff that he's going to do. He's going to do this and he's going to do that and he's going to make sure that all guns are registered and all, and everybody's going to have to register their guns and all like that. I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, you know why they won't register all the guns? So they know where they're at so they can come and get them. I said, I'm not going to register my guns. I said, I'm not going to do it. I said, they want my guns. They're going to have to come and take them. I'm not going to give them to them. Because then, I think about the Bolshevik Revolution. I read all about that. They did that in Russia. You know what they did? The first thing they did, they said, well, we need to take care of the guns and all, and they got everybody's guns. After they got them, millions of them were killed. They just went in there and slaughtered them. Hey, I think you're against the state. You don't go along with us, and so we're just going to put you out of your misery and to kill you. Oh, that would never happen in America. Huh. You'd have never thought the socialist movement, huh? And I didn't mean to get into politics this morning. But you got so many. Years ago, folks, I tried to tell people. And people look at me like I was crazy. I said, do you realize the biggest majority of these Democrats are registered socialists? Yeah, you're off your rocker. Huh? You see it now? And that was years ago. I remember when Bernie Sanders first got voted in Vermont. Now I remember on the news, they laughed. They laughed. Here we've got a socialist in Vermont, the first socialist. And you see what he's doing. You see how free everything. Give everybody. Give it to everybody. Especially these college kids. Oh, they really like that. Oh, I can go to college and not cost me anything. Listen, folks, we're living in a bad time, and men shall wax worse and worse. Sometimes you think, well, it can't get any worse, and it does. It gets worse. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm on the way to heaven. I'm glad I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Do you know Him today? Amen. Brother Jerry, would you come get us a song? And okay, cast an organist, would you come?